This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked, dragging themselves through the Negro streets at dawn looking for an angry fix. Angel-headed hipsters burning for the ancient heavenly connection to the starry dynamo and the machinery of night. Who poverty and tatters and hollow-eyed and high sat up smoking in the supernatural darkness of cold water flats, floating across the tops of cities, contemplating jazz. Who bared their brains to heaven under the L and saw Mohammedan angels staggering on tenement roofs, illuminated. Who passed through universities with radiant, cool eyes, hallucinating Arkansas and Blake Light tragedy among the scholars of war. Who were expelled from the academies for crazy and publishing obscene odes on the windows of the skull. Who cowered in unshaven rooms in underwear, burning their money in waste baskets and listening to the terror through the wall.
Welcome to the fifth episode of Speak Easy. My name is Elaine Foster. With me in the studio is my producer, Tina C. She's been downgraded from Tina Carmelia because her last name is so difficult to pronounce.
But you did that right.
I did it right the second time.
Of course.
Okay, so in today's episode, we will be talking about beat poetry and counterculture. The Beats, as they were also known, were a small group of poets based in New York City, which later migrated to San Francisco from the 1940s. Not to be confused with beatniks, which is a stereotype, which meant you wore black berets, turtlenecks, listened to jazz, wrote poetry, and of course, drank coffee. Sound familiar? Beat poets and the culture they espoused was anti-establishment, nonconformist, and they explored ideas of spirituality, American versus Eastern religions. They rejected materialism, and they often wrote explicit portrayals of the human condition, including experimentation with psychedelic drugs, sexual liberation, and exploration. Juicy stuff. Are the hipster poets of the now beat in any way? Is spoken word a meaningful counterculture, or are we simply beatniks? You've just listened to a seminal beat literary work, the poem Howl. Howl was not written as a performance piece, and it was later published by poet Lawrence Ferlinghetti of City Light Books. Ferlinghetti spoke of the poem as a performance piece only as part of the defense's case during the poem's obscenity trial. Upon the poem's release, Ferlinghetti and the bookstore manager were charged with disseminating obscene literature, and both were arrested. But the poem was eventually judged as not obscene. Joining us in the studio today is Jack Malik. Give it up, Jack.
Hi, I'm Jack Malik.
Jack Malik is a Rabak boy and fellow Mike Jacker, which we'll hear more about later. A 24 years old page and stage poet that's been jacking the mic since 2015. He's performed both in Malay and English, represented the Malaysian Poetry Slam team last year for the Causeway Exchange, and is currently doing his master's in Malay studies at University Malaya. Jack.
Hi.
What's a mic jacker?
So mic jackers is a term we call ourselves.
Ourselves? So there's more than one mic jacker.
There's more than one mic jacker. So it's basically a bunch of guys and girls jacking the mic.
I mean, speaking of obscenity, Howl, the reason why I asked you to come in and talk about beat poetry, mm-hmm. One, obviously your name is reminiscent of Jack Kerouac, who is also somebody well known for the beat, who's supposed to have coined the term beat generation.
Yeah.
And also there's a jazz style about your poetry that I see that the beat poets were like. Howl is a seminal beat poem. How does that fit into your own philosophy?
Well, I've heard Allen Ginsberg's version and I've heard James Franco's version. I have to admit, I like James Franco's version.
You preferred it because?
Because it's very clean. I mean, in that sense. However, if we're talking about rawness, about authenticity, of course, James Burke himself. I don't really like to put myself in the position of intellectuals or academician.
Which is kind of something that the beat poets were about. They were anti-intellectual in that way.
I mean, it's not wrong that we need this trinity. Like, we have the artists, the intellects, which is critics and all, and the academician, which documents. These three people are important for the ecosystem. However, I don't want to put myself in that position. I'm more towards on the artistry side. So I take how the energy, the wordplay, not necessarily wordplay, but the usage of language, the precision of language.
I mean, that's definitely something I recognized in your work. Again, why I kind of thought of beat poetry when I see you and watch you perform. I also read an article that you recently wrote for...
For Daily Sunni.
Daily Sunni, right. Yeah. Now, it's in Malay, so I did a Google Translate. So I had to portion it off. But basically, what caught my eye was that it had the word beat in beat poetry. So I was like, Jack knows about beat poetry because it isn't a cultural references that many of the poets that we know use today. Mm. So how did you discover the beats? And again, how come they resonate with you enough to write about it?
I discovered Beat Generations from Project Rabak. I remember last year I was hanging out with the founder, Jay Zwan. Then he said, okay, you should read about Beat Generations because Project Rabak, the members were into Beat Generations, into punk rock, which punk rock was inspired from beat, so I've heard. So basically, I've heard of Jack Kerouac. Okay, let me check this dude out. So the first book for Beat Generation Introduction was On the Road.
Of course. That's the first book that I was introduced by. Yeah. Which is not even a book of poetry.
Yeah, I mean, but I like how, I don't remember where I heard this or read. Someone said that Kerouac's work was, he's a prose writer.
Yep.
But his prose were poetic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't know if his work was why we use the term stream of consciousness, but that's how we described his work, right? Yeah. It was just, he would run off for hours and hours on his typewriter and everything that came into his head, he would put together, which is how he wrote On the Road. It was like, I don't know how many 100-page manuscript that he did an all-nighter on. Mm.
And I'm the type of person easily influenced.
Right.
I mean...
Aren't we all?
Yeah, I mean, the first time I read On the Road, I tried wanting to write like Kerouac. So if you notice my poems on Facebook, there are a bit of that quote-unquote stream of consciousness.
Just letting it roll out.
Lack of editing, just letting it roll. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it's just gibberish.
Which is why I guess there's such a focus on the sound of the words. You kind of get into the sound and of the like consonants and the cracking.
Yeah. That one I was inspired by Abdul Ghaffar Ibrahim, a veteran Malaysian poet, goes by the name Ayahagi or Pak Agi. Yeah, that dude, Matt Ginsburg. I mean, you could check his Facebook out and got a picture. I just showed you the picture,
It was pretty impressive.
So he kind of brought the idea of there are three elements in poetry, which is verbal, vocal, and visual. Visual is a technique. Verbal is word choice. So in Malay or in English, we tend to find common words. For Malay, I think there's a lot of bisa, a lot of aku, that kind of type, you know? There are some words I feel like, oh, this word's overrated.
Honestly. Sure, but I is always overrated. Yeah. People definitely use I way too much in their poetry.
So when you say you like the sound, that is the vocal part of the poem. So verbal, visual, and vocal. How does the poem sounds like? So I think Hal gained that thing because of the verbal, vocal, and visual.
I'm so glad that you brought that up because I know hardly anything about the Malay poetry scene. Mm-hmm. It's always been an enigma. Of course, because my Malay is really not up to par in terms of understanding.
How long have you been living
in Malay? A long time, but it takes a lot to be able to write and understand poetry in another language, guys.
Yeah.
But true. Although Jack has mastered it in both English and Malay, I have to say.
I'm still learning. It's just that there's this book called Titian Zaman. It's a compilation of 1930s. Malay poem until the 1970s, 80s. So I pick up from that a lot.
So you mentioned this connection with Malay poetry through Pak Agi. So you said to me you were inspired to write a poem by this poet. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you could share that poem with us? This is the poem that I met you through and remember you most by.
Yeah, okay. This poem is called Sejak Jak Jak. Tempelengkan bisu Terajang sekian sepi, berambus. Teruskan menulis, 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 tulis, 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 sajak, 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 ruang kau bangkit, kau jatuh, kau sakit, kau berlari, kau berhenti, kau cari, kau temui, kau hilang, kau jumpa, kau sakit, kau sembuh, kau bernafas, kau lemas, kau hidup, kau mati, kau engkau, kau aku, kau kita, kau mereka, kau bersajak, jak, jak, terlonjak, tak berganjak, buka pencak, naik pun, cak, 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 pun, cak, 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 pun, cak, ikut rentak, lari, rentak, tak, 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 hingga retak bulan, retak matahari, retak otak luar kotak, retak otak dalam kotak, biar otak jadi petak, tak, kau petak, tak, kau kotak, tak, kau kotak, tak, 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 tun 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 tak 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 tun tak 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 tun tun tak tun tak tak tun tak tak tun tak tak tun tak tun tak 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 tun tak tak tun 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 tak tun tak tun tak 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 tun 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 tak tun tak 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 tun tak 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 tun 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 tak 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 tun tak tak tun tak 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 tun tak tun tak 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 tun ten tak 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 bukan cuba ba 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 alif ba ta alif ba cuba jadi pak gigi mungkin sekadar mendata jalan tatar tir tu tak alif rotar taya rotir tawa wa 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 ro tu 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 cuba ba 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 untuk ber tu 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 beragigi berafar far kerana bila kata-kata sudah melata dihambat pilu semilu menangis hu termanggu buku muka surat dilepat siapa cepat dirapat siapa lambat dia berkarat melekat karat sekat karat melekat sekat berat kat sekat kata-kata tersekat aku tercekik kata suara tersekat cuba memuntahkan kata-kata dari berkata-kata dari berkata-kata berkata-kata kata berkata-kata kata-kata kata-kata kata batu bata brem bata alih bata ku pinjam nafas untuk berlanggam nikam ditikam tika kang kakam kejam pejam pejam pinjam pejam pinjam pejam kejam pinjam suara pinjam gaya pinjam laga untuk bersajak bersajak jak 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 bersajak bersahaja jak 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 bila patutnya aku bersasasasa bukannya berjak jak 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 bila patutnya aku bersajak jak jak aku cuma nak bersajak. Sebab bila kata-kata hilang makna, bahasa hilang rasa, tinggal hanya bekas-bekas huruf bersepah, tulang-tulang kata berserakan. Ilham penyajak muda yang sedang mencari suara dan tempatnya di antara sela-sela kata dan baris-baris puisi. Mencari gema bunyi yang paling bening, suara bisikan terdahulu yang menyalak lantang di balik helaian-helaian-helaian pengalaman. Aku ingin ke daerah abadi itu. Tempat sunyi dan damai yang menanti suara aku. Jadi tempelingkan semua. Terajang segalanya, terpelanting pergi. Aku cuma nak terus menulis, 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 tulis, 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 tulis. Dan bersajak lagi, bersajak, jak, 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 bersajak, ajak, ajak, sajak, ajak, bersajak, ajak, bersajak, ajak, ajak, sajak, jak, 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 ajak, sajak, bersajak, jak, ajak, jak, sajak, jak, 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 ajak, sajak, bersajak, jak, jak, ajak, sajak, jak, bersajak, jak, jak, lagi. Thank you.
Up next, we'll bring in another poet, Azizan Afi, who's going to help me sit and unpack that poem. Thanks, Jack. You've been listening to Speakeasy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Speakeasy. I'm Elaine Foster, and in the studio today, my producer, Tina Carmelia, and Jack Malik. Joining us now is another poet, Azizan Afi.
Hey.
Afi has been performing spoken words since 2015. His work deals with existentialism. Now, that's a word I haven't really heard in a long time. And petty everyday frustrations of a Malaysian youth. Since August 2016, he has been running Jacket, an open mic along with a few poets in the hope it will break the barriers of spoken word performers. Driven by his passion for music, Afi has also been performing with Da Band, a music spoken word act. So Jack has mentioned Mic Jackers, which is a group of people who jack the mic. And then there's Jack It. What is up with Jack?
We were friends with Jack for like a while. Uh-huh. We met him at poetry gigs and stuff, and then we just asked him to come and hang out with us, and he said, let's hang out. And it was also during that period that Jack was actively going to open mics and just asking for slots at the door.
Hustling.
We made fun of him.
It started with a joke, like...
What, that he was being... Sorry.
No, that he goes to like a lot of poetry events, so when we go to a poetry gig and Jack was not there, and we're like, oh, where's Jack? Usually he'll be here, jacking the mic. And then it became like an inside joke. It was just like that. And then one day, I think... was last year during September or August, we had an idea for a show in mind at that time. And then Jamal Raslan just out of the blue came up with the idea, why don't you just do a show where people can just come and perform? Basically, you're just jacking the mic.
I went to a jacket event and he wasn't even there. Like, I expected Jack to be at Jack Ix.
I'm
based in Ipoh.
Yeah.
Ipoh, right. So that's where Rabak has its home, yes?
Yes.
So... would you say Rabak and the poets there kind of lived out a more beat culture than the other scene or the other poets? Or
absolutely.
What is beat about Rabak?
What is beat about Rabak is because they don't care.
Oh.
They just want to do art. And to them, art is not just whatever that is in the gallery, whatever that is in the radio, whatever that is celebrated. Like, uncelebrated art is also art to them. I think that is very beat. That is very punk rock.
Rabak, like the Beats, is punk rock. They're nonconformists.
Yep, yep.
I've seen some of their stuff. It's spontaneous poetry,
reading
it on top of rooftops, jacking events with poetry. Would you say that was missing in the English poetry scene?
I think the free spirit of Rabak, I would say that free spirit of doing things, that is what is missing in like the English poetry scene, probably. Because I think when people think poetry, when you say poetry, it's always
slam.
Very proper.
Or sorry.
It's like it's always been very proper, very... If it's page poetry, it's page poetry. If it's slam poetry, it's slam poetry. There's no in-between. There's no...
Right.
There's no trying to do other things.
Experiment,
explore. Do things with music or do things with theater.
What about outside the poetry? Do you think that they kind of live up to the Beats in terms of their psychedelia? And
as far as I can see, yes.
Do you think this is a class thing also? Do you think that the experiences from the Rabak poets might be... Jack, you can also respond to this.
I mean, it's not like some exclusive club. It's not the type of you sit down and talk about literature only.
Hmm.
Because Rabak Jezuan he came from the school of thought from... There's this collective, a band collective. I mean, the studio in Ipoh called...
They were playing music.
Called Body Surf. So Body Surf was the catalyst of everything in Ipoh for the counterculture. Hipster cafe, bands, even the art scene itself, in a way... influence Ipoh and influence Rabak. I mean, I get it, in any scene, there will always be some kind or some degree of toxicity, dramas here and there. But you know what? I'm glad that I was brought up with Rabak, because quoting Jezwa and Sastra bukan Quran. Sastra is not a holy book, or art is not something sacred that you need to put on a pedestal. In a way, resonates with beat generations of nonconformity.
Are there any women in Rabak? Are there any women poets?
I
just had to ask.
Okay. The younger generations we have, Shima Scarlett, I'm not really familiar with the old generations.
Because that is a criticism of the beat generation.
Yep.
As well, that it was extremely sexist and misogynist and probably racist too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's the women in the beat generation were just wives or muses. I mean, this is a very, sexist idea.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I love Jack Kerouac and the idea of the beat generation, it's not something that I could have really accessed as a woman.
True.
You know, because women experience things differently.
Yep.
People like Wani Ardi, a poet from Ipoh, is she part of the Rabak crew?
No, not really. But she is KL based. But now she moved to Ipoh. Well, I have to say that in Malay scene, from my experience personally, I'm not sure if I'm well-versed or I need to explore more. But from the way I see it, yes, we are lacking some female figures. I mean, we have Finn Jamal, we have Fazlina, Wani Ardi.
And they're pretty big names.
Yeah, pretty big names.
Finn Jamal, I knew her back.
But what about the new stuff?
Yeah.
So in the English scene, spoken word, we don't have to worry. We got Lily Jamaluddin, we got Imbanila, we got Dabita.
I mean, the English scene is full
Pavitra,
of women.
They
basically are the scene.
Yeah, they basically are the scene. They should make a showcase. But
Afi, would you like to share one of your poems with us? Have you brought something today that you could read?
Yeah, I guess I have something.
You guess. Okay. All right, cool.
A high-definition sky, a city on LSD. Low-resolution LCD, last year's resolution down the drain, flickering streetlights, drizzling neon and urbanized nihilist daydream. Sartre's sensibility, Dada's absolution, you see. Aku masih bersama kau di Rockland. Di tebing insanity, di penghujung dunia, di mana kita menari, meraihkan bom nuklear jatuh ke bumi. Because the city is sick of old dreams, I pour my last cup of coffee into a drain flowing nicotine redemption. Out of stairs at me from an apartment balcony, overlooking flickering dim office lights. And I know how we are all too afraid of being wrong, of the suit feeling like a dead skin, so we run into comforting snaps and common tongues speaking of postmodern lives underneath concrete weight and how it is okay to cry. Because we are lovers. We are the last of our kind, on a road to nowhere, blasting Bowie or cursing God still for taking him away. The skid marks are all that we see, but it's all that we have, so we still drive in a pitch black night, with no headlights on, hoping it won't lead us down a trench. Dalam mimpi aku, masih bersama kau di Kelana Jaya bercerita tentang sejarah kejam dunia ditemani asap rokok dan teh tarik. Nan cheese, ais kosong, balik bila cahaya pagi menerangi langit but lie wide awake still until noon contemplating home. Punk rock, Lisiana, Salja, death, you know, things that make me. Also, my old dreams that are swallowed whole by internet forums and Twitter feed. My values are without value when absolutes are no longer fallacy. Aku cuma mampu melihat minda-minda terbaik generasi aku ditelan kegilaan. Sesak, lemas dalam ketiadaan makna, hilang suara dalam tangisan bisu. Atas pentas kecil, berteman lampu malap, bercerita tentang malam-malam kita berdoa tanpa ironi kepada semua Tuhan mengharapkan pengakhiran. Somewhere along LDP, our love stares at me from an apartment balcony with my face lit by a small LCD typing furiously a message to God wishing I could dig my nails into this sickness and embrace the last echo of our innocence. And even if meaninglessness is all that we sing, I'll scup our shouts into a waterfall, proving to heaven that falling from grace eternally could be beauty. That even if we drown in the static noise, we'll learn to make music out of it. I swear we'll be alright, and I swear that we'll be fine, and I swear we'll be alright, and I swear that we'll be fine, I swear we'll be alright, and I swear they'll be fine, I swear we will be alright. Because we are but lovers. We are the last of our kind. On a road to nowhere, blasting Bowie, because we could be heroes just for one day. Dan aku masih bersama kau di Rockland. Di dalam mimpi. Di Kelana Jaya, somewhere along LDP. Dan aku masih bersama kau di SS2. 6 tingkat dari dunia nyata, mata merah. Di bawah kegelapan pencemaran cahaya, berbisik di bawah naungan ketakutan, berdoa untuk hujan bom nuklear. Tapi rasa lebih hidup dari selama-lamanya.
I love the descriptions of the city. That's actually something quite quintessential, I think, about beat poetry as well as this kind of like the imagining of the space that you live in, right? And, and the referencing of the things that you see, the simple everyday things that you see and do. And of course, the city, they really do romanticize the idea of the city.
To me, it's like more romanticizing the idea of hating a city.
Yeah, Jack Kerouac said, down in Denver, sure. All I did was die.
Yeah.
But he loved it.
Yeah, Denver.
It's a love hate
thing. No, he loved the idea of dying.
Dying. Oh, yeah. City.
You know?
Yeah. KL is my Denver.
Is it? Why? Why is that?
Every time I came KL, I'm dead. I need to be in Ipoh.
Is that where you feel, where you can get your creative juices kind of more?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of homage to Ipoh. I've written so many poems about Ipoh, about nasi ganja and...
to be fair, it's a good place. It's
caramel, custard, yong suan.
It's always food, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
that Malaysians like to obsess over.
Yeah.
The other thing that the Beats kind of used and paid homage to themselves were music and musicians. Jack Kerouac wrote about Charlie Parker and often used jazz musicians to accompany his work. I'm going to play a clip now from Jack Kerouac's American Haiku.
In my medicine cabinet, the winter fly has died of old age. Well, here I am, 2 p.m. What day is it? The tree looks like a dog barking at heaven.
So that was Jack Kerouac. In the spring of 1958, Jack Kerouac went into the studio with tenor saxman Al Cohn and Zoot Sims to record his second album, a mixture of jazz and poetry called Blues Haikus, which is where the clip you just heard comes from, where the haiku is a traditional Japanese poetic form with three unrhyming lines and seven and five syllables. Jack chose a freer approach, which kind of fits more in with his philosophy of poetry. He believed it to be more fitting of the kind of the spontaneous improvisation that the jazz musicians were using in like the jazz clubs and taverns of the time. In fact, it is said that he used the word beat to signify the beats of the music that were used in poetry. But there is a reference to the word beat poetry in terms of, before that, in terms of being beaten down. Yeah. So he kind of appropriated the word beat to mean something else. Jack, back to Sajak.
Okay.
I heard that, and I was so inspired that I had to write a response poem, which has nothing...
No.
Doesn't have the level of depth or history connected to it.
There's no level.
We'll get to decide.
Yeah. Okay, you guys, hang on. I don't think I've ever read a poem on air on the show. Someone actually wrote to me the other day and went, where's your prompt poem? I don't do that. Last year, I was part of a troupe of poets that went to Johor for the...
Iskarnival,
thank you. Okay. And, like, we were getting messed around so much. So we had so much time on our hands that we gave ourselves our own poetry workshop. And the poetry workshop was in BM. And so I was forced to write a Malay poem. The prompt was, it had to be in Malay, and you had to choose a concept. And mine was censorship. Mm-hmm. Okay? So my idea was censorship. If only I had a visual reference for this. Payong. Buka. Tutu. Buka. Tutu, buka, tutu, buka, tutu, buka, tutu, tutu, buka, ka, 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 ka,
ka,
ka, ka,
ka.
What do you think of that? Did you get it?
I got it, yep.
That was my homage.
Very limited vocabulary, Elaine.
Hey. It's about the sounds, Tina. Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, the opening and the closing umbrella. It's deep stuff.
You don't get to critique your own work.
Okay, that's true. I read it in front of Marina Mahadir and she clapped.
Politely.
That. People we call intertextual, where we read other people and we inspire, but we don't take it 100%, and that's what Pak Gi metal.
I love that idea, poets responding to other poets. Yeah. I don't think it happens enough. I think that we should definitely be referencing ourselves, referencing each other, in this, responding to what we're saying, and not just be a monologue.
True. Yeah. Right? I mean, I'm the type of poet that's easily inspired.
You do that a lot.
Yeah, I think 50%, 60% of my poems is about my friends and my hometown. Seriously. Yeah.
Okay, guys, last word on beat poetry and the local scene. So Afi is now organizing Jacket in the name of his idol.
No, not idol.
Friend.
What are both of you, what are your aspirations for the scene?
For people to keep performing, for people to keep breaking boundaries, for people to keep doing stuff. I want to see someone from the scene right now being able to live off this. You know, that'd be like physically and also, I think, figuratively. I don't know. I have a feeling that
financially,
you know, I have a feeling that Jack could actually pull it off. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, well, I know that it's not going to make me rich. But hey, I'm rich with friends.
Oh,
and poetry.
That is so beautiful.
Art.
So, yeah, rich with art. So my aspirations about the local scene, both because I'm jumping from English to Malay to English. What I notice, the scene is growing, like, healthily. So, however, I wish to see more new people. For example, we have Dinesha Kartigisu, who won
the
slam.
Cosmic Exchange Slam.
With a perfect score, 10.
No way.
Yeah, I mean, we need more people like that.
Jack, Afi, thank you so much for coming on the show today and kind of schooling me on the Malay poetry scene and a Malay poetry. And really, we need to sit down and you guys need to tell me what I need to be reading. Give me some translations or just give me some Bahasa lessons so I can get into this myself.
And thanks for having us.
Yeah, you are more than welcome. We have been talking today about beat poetry, beat culture, the beat generation, the idea of counterculture, and does it exist within our poetry scene currently here in Malaysia? Guys, to get in touch with either of you, Afi, how can listeners contact you?
I'm on Facebook most of the times.
Azizan Afi. So we can contact you through the Jacket event page.
Yeah, that as well. Okay. I'm on Twitter a lot. I'm on Instagram a lot.
Jack, how about you?
I've been slow on Instagram lately, but I'm on Twitter and Facebook. You can find me by the name Jack Malik under Project Rabak and Twitter _ Jack Malik, also Project Rabak. Yeah.
Great. Thank you for that. Coming up after the break, we will be giving the hot seat to the poets today. Every episode, we have a writing prompt. The prompt inspired by Jack Kerouac's American Haiku. Jack says, "The American haiku is not exactly the Japanese haiku. The Japanese haiku is strictly disciplined to 17 syllables, but since the language structure is different, I don't think American haikus should worry about syllables because American speech is something, again, bursting to pop. Above all, a haiku must be very simple and free of all poetic trickery and make a little picture and yet be as airy and graceful as a Vivaldi pastorella." So that's the prompt I gave these guys. We'll hear it after the break. This has been Speakeasy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Speakeasy. I'm Elaine Foster. With me in the studio is Tina C. Today in the studio, we have been talking about beat poetry with Jack Malik and Azizan Afi. Before the break, we gave them a prompt, which was,
"The American haiku is not exactly the Japanese haiku. The Japanese haiku is strictly disciplined to 17 syllables, but since the language structure is different, the American haikus should not worry about syllables because American speech is something bursting to pop. Above all, a haiku must be very simple and free of all poetic trickery and make a little picture and yet be as airy and graceful as a Vivaldi pastorella."
So let's go, guys. We're going to use improvised jazz over your haikus just in the way that Jack Kerouac worked with Alcone and Zoot Sims. I have invited Maldivian Aksim Mamun, who's going to play live on his saxophone. Take it away.
The roti canai bathed in dal, making me hungry.
Cigarette smokes and non-cigarette smokes underneath neon lights somewhere along LDP.
I am high on nasi ganja.
Seni bisu, seni malang tak berkepentingan macam blues dan keroncong.
Mandi di lubuk timah, tak pakai baju, sambil melaung sastra is puting.
Generasi bising, noise and sampled jazz, gibberish and sampled phrases.
Lalat mati kelaparan sebab sampah pun mahal sekarang.
Cari makna atas pentas atau berdoa kepada deity usang tak ada beza.
I am a doctor by handwriting, not by practice.
Dudum tss. This is potentially where the snapping came from, you know, because you want to snap along to the jazz and the poetry. Guys, awesome. Thank you so much for those efforts. If you would like to try your hand at the prompt, Tina, who can they contact?
Email us your attempt, biggerpicture@bfm.my. You can follow us on our Facebook page, BFM The Bigger Picture, or tweet us any thoughts or comments or stories that you'd like to share at BFM Radio.
Also, you can get in contact to Poetry Cafe KL on Facebook if you want to hear or know or see or learn or be part of anything poetry related in Malaysia. Don't forget, you can also go down to Tongue Tie tonight at the B Publica. Things kick off at 8 p.m. Music, probably some jazz, probably some experimentation. Definitely going to be poetry. That is all we have time for this episode. If you missed any part of this interview, you can download the podcast on the BFM app, available for free from Google Play or the Apple App Store. Next month, we will be talking about hip-hop and poetry, another kind of music related. Be sure to tune into that. But before we go, I'd like to lead out with a song especially chosen by our guest Jack. It's a track by Max Roach. It's called Effie from his album Members Don't Get Weary. I'm your host, Elaine Foster. You've been listening to Speak Easy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.